use, which has reached a record high. Low numbers of Americans have rated themselves as thriving at other points, including in November 2008, during the Great Recession, and in April 2020, as unemployment skyrocketed amid the economic shutdown and the spread of COVID-19 across the U.S. The share of people classified as suffering has grown gradually since the beginning of the pandemic, as the country has gone through the racial justice uprising of 2020, a continuing crisis of gun violence and attacks on reproductive freedom across the U.S., as well as inflation and other crises related to the economy. Inflation hit a new 40-year high in June at 9.1% and was at 8.5% in July. In June, Gallup reported that rising gas prices were contributing to financial hardship for two-thirds of Americans. As Common Dreams reported earlier this month, nearly 100 million people in the U.S. this year have been forced to cut back on essentials including meals, utilities, and driving in order to afford healthcare costs, and 26% delayed or avoided medical care due to cost. While corporations and the Federal Reserve have claimed that rising compensation for workers is behind inflation and soaring prices, labor leaders and progressive economists argue skyrocketing pay for already wealthy corporate executives has worsened inequality while also driving inflation. Gallup also surveyed people about their stress and worry levels last month, finding that 48% of Americans said they were experiencing daily stress in July, compared with 43% in July 2021. 42% reported feeling worried on a daily basis, compared with 38% a year ago. The survey was released weeks after Data for Progress published a poll showing two-thirds of people who rent their homes are very concerned or somewhat concerned about being able to afford their housing costs. Gallup noted that respondents' stress levels could correlate to realities of American life that are not directly related to the economy. Dovetailing with economic headwinds is a rising discontentment with U.S. moral values, which has reached a record high, reported the firm. 50% of Americans told Gallup in June that they were dissatisfied with moral values in the U.S., with racism and discrimination named as a top concern for 8% of respondents, compared with just 2% in 2012. 18% said they were most concerned about consideration for others. The latest Gallup survey also came out 2 months after a 538 Ipsos poll showing that 42% of Americans saw gun violence and crime as a top issue facing the U.S., with only inflation and rising costs causing more concern among respondents. Nearly three-quarters of U.S. parents are also concerned about school shootings, a CBS poll taken in June showed.
We are with you. What about you? IRIB English Radio.
IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
The presence of different scholars.
And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light.
The Creator made Adam in his image, then placed the world in his care. May you walk alongside the Creator in righteousness.
God of Abraham, take my child into thy hands, that he may live to thy service.
God has spoken to us before, through Abraham, Noah, Moses, and through Jesus Christ. Why should we be so surprised that God speaks to us now through Muhammad?
Viewpoint.
A critique of movies with religious themes on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God, welcome to another edition of the program Viewpoint on IRIB English Radio. In these programs, we criticize movies with especially religious themes. Well, such that movie is a jinn, this is a very controversial issue, of course, not totally in the Muslim world, but, some people it might be a strange or weird or, I don't know, supernatural or imaginary. But the thing is, we have actually lots of verses in the Holy Scriptures, especially we are talking about the Quran. So we chose this topic and we dealt with this issue through the movie Jinn, produced in 2014. But another movie that is somehow a recent movie, it is called De Jinn, of course, with, capital D and then J, not like the previous movie, Jinn with a capital J. So it was produced in 2021, directed by two people, David Carbonier and Justin Powell. They happen to be the writers, too. And again, it stars, let's say, Ezra Dewey, Devi Poe, Rob Brownstein, and John Erickson. None of them I know of. Maybe some of you know. And the box office was $124,000, roughly. Let's take a listen to a short part of this movie, Jinn, De Jinn, with a capital D, and then we'll be back with a question.
What do you think?
We start thinking about the things we're missing. We forget about the things we have.
I'm gonna take a shower before bed. I'll be home before you get up.
Back to the program Viewpoint on RIB English Radio with me, Mohanjad, hosting this program, and Sister Asma and Sayyid Abdullah, my guest speakers in the studio. We are criticizing the movie De Jinn with a capital D, produced in 2021, directed by David Carbonier and Justin Powell, starring Ezra Dewey, Devi Poe, Rob Brownstein, and John Erickson. The whole movie is about a mute boy becomes, trapped in his apartment with a sinister monster after making a wish to fulfill his heart's greatest desire. And for that, I'm going to ask two of my friends and guest speakers, Sister Asma and Sayyid Abdullah, to join me in the studio. And first, I may greet with them. Sister Asma, assalamu alaikum, and welcome to the program.
Wa alaikum assalam.
And Sayyid Abdullah.
Nice to be here.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Thank you for having me.
Well, the critical response, Sayyid Abdullah, was positive, as opposed to the previous movie, which was negative. This gained actually a positive review from different critics. For example, review aggregator website Rotten Tomatoes reports an approval rate of 87% based on 69 reviews, with an average of rating of 6.7 out of 10. This is
because good. It had a bitter ending.
Yeah,
probably. All right. So, how did you like this movie?
Well, it was different from my usual horror movies that I've seen in the past. It was a very kind of light horror movie. There wasn't too much scary stuff in it. I mean, it has the, you know, it has the all the atmosphere for scary stuff, but they did not have too much scare creatures as much as in other movies. They tried to keep it more like, I don't know, within the realm of 15 plus rather than 18 plus, so they can get more viewers watching it. So overall, it was okay. It was just an okay movie. Nothing extreme, nothing poor. I wouldn't call it a B-grade movie, nor will I call it an A, you know, A-star Hollywood movie. So yes, something in average. It's just an average, nice movie you can watch whenever you're bored.
I see.
Yeah.
How did you like this movie?
Well, it was good. But
did you find it attractive?
Would it be bad if I say no?
Why not?
So it is not my favorite genre, but you know, in the case of showing of those stories of that type, it was okay. I guess it was a good kind of its format.
I see. Let's take a listen to a short part of this movie, Jin, De Jin, with a capital D, of course, produced in 2021, directed by David Carbonier and Justin Powell. And then we'll be back with a question about it. Don't go away.
He wanted to cry. He wanted to give himself up to despair. And when he came to, he found himself stretched out on the bed and the fairy was sitting next to him. Tomorrow your wish will come true, the fairy said. What is it? Pinocchio replied. Tomorrow you'll cease to be a puppet and you're going to become a real boy.
Back to the program Viewpoint on RIB English Radio with me, Mahajad, hosting this program, and Sister Asma and Sayyid Abdullah, my guest speakers in the studio. We are criticizing the movie De Jin with a capital D, produced in 2021, directed by David Carbonier and Justin Powell. Well, apart from, let's say, the movie itself, as you have listened to this part of the movie, the father at the beginning of this movie, Sister Asma, is reading to his mute boy, to his son, the story of Pinocchio and a fairy turning his puppet body into a real boy. Basically, it's like, you know, introducing the whole theme of the movie to the audience.
Exactly.
And I think they did a good job. I mean, the director and the writer and the producer.
The difference was that the one who turned Pinocchio into a human being was an angel.
Exactly. And we are talking about a transformation again here, right? And not to mention, this is a mute boy, and we know what a mute boy wants, right?
Exactly.
So if there is a wish, that is going to be talking,
exactly,
speaking.
And
making a speech,
a voice
is something that he actually lacks. So, you know, we have the idea of fairies in Pinocchio, of course, such a story, you know. I know it's a novel, it's a story, but do fairies exist like djinns?
Djinns do exist, but yes, they do exist.
Fairies.
Supernatural creatures, yes, they exist. And we call them djinns. And djinns have good ones and bad ones. So if we call the good ones as fairy, then it would work.
I see.
We call the good djinns as fairy, then it would work.
But how can we prove them in modern life? Because modern life is like all sense data. Like if you see something, if you hear something, if you touch something or smell or taste, that is going to be the data received and accepted. Other than that, they wouldn't.
You know, I don't think it's a matter of approval or disapproval. It's a thing that exists. There is no discussion over that. Jinns do exist, supernatural beings.
So how would you prove it, for example, to a person like an atheist or somebody who denies it altogether?
I won't prove it to them. They would leave, and one day, if they have to see it, then they would see it.
Uh-huh.
And according to, I would perhaps use the holy book. And if they're atheists, then there's no way for me to make them believe in that.
Mm-hmm.
But if they are believers, then according to holy books or the scriptures, we could actually make them believe.
I see. Say that, any comment?
I have like family members. Yeah, so like they say, no, I don't believe in jinn. I don't believe in sihr. I'm like, do this in the Quran. Like, yeah, but I still, you know. So sometimes proving something that's unseen to us that we don't get to deal with is not a very easy task. So sometimes you just have to, like this, as I said, you just have to bank on, you know, on what you know yourself. Because, I mean, for an atheist as well, trying to prove the existence of God, they wouldn't believe it. The reality is we're living in a society where we're becoming very materialistic. Unless I see it, I believe it. If I don't, then I don't. And anything within that realm we call panorama activity. So it's...
So how would you prove it to a person who denies it?
There are things you just can't prove. It simply can't prove. You can prove it mentally, you can prove it intellectually, but you can't prove it physically.
What do you mean intellectually?
Like you can prove it in terms of theory. You can't prove it in terms of like physicality.
Mm-hmm.
Like how, in the same way I prove the existence of God, for example, I can talk about jinn and prove their existence through the events that happen to us as a human beings. For example, pretty much everybody, to a certain extent, believe in ghosts, right?
Right.
They believe that something happens. But the idea is if you change this mindset from ghost to jinn, then it makes a lot of sense to them. I remember one day I was driving and there were two Aussies with me and they were both homosexual. And they were talking about ghosts. I'm like, did you guys know that ghosts doesn't exist? I'm like, how so? I said to them, 1, 2, 3, 4. And then they pause and like, yeah, then what the hell are that, these things? I'm like, they're not ghosts. Call them something else. So you can in that sense, right?
I see.
You can, so matter, if you talk about it from the aspect of theology or the aspect of, like I said, from an intellectual point, theory, maybe. But trying to prove them in real, that's going to be...
And by the way, it's not a totally, let's say, or purely religious idea.
No, it's not.
Sometimes
it's
you can find it in their different cultures.
Yeah, yeah. Like I said, everybody believes in ghosts.
Yeah.
Right? Because sometimes, I think every one of us, something must have happened to them that they thought, well, that's strange.
Mm-hmm.
What was that? And when we sleep at night and things move around you, you hear sounds, you're like, okay, something is going on. So that obviously it comes from something, the belief in something that's out there you cannot see.
Mm-hmm.
So nice. if you can get someone with the right information, you can actually tell you.
Sister Asma believed that fairies are like the good genies.
Well, good genies are just good genies. Fairies, like, I mean, in the sense of Hollywood fairies, like, I wouldn't have such a thing.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, like small, cute girl creatures. We don't know
that would that. Turn like we have like, the story like of Cinderella again, the fairies changing Cinderella into you know, beautifully dressed girl ready for marriage.
I mean especially the lady from Shrek, you know, the godmother. Uh-huh. The fairy godmother. I wish she exists. I would go for her for potions. The reality is we don't have such a thing.
I see. Yeah. And what about the other creatures? Because we don't know anything about the world, you know?
Look, and the fact, yeah, like you said.
And we also talked about it in some of their earlier programs about the different multiple universes.
Yeah,
you know?
See,
not verses, not
unique. I hold the view
right
from what I've been reading from the Ahlul Bayt, from the Riwayat, from the Quran, that this vast universe, and even our own universe, even our own earth, there are plenty, if not millions of creatures that live with us that we don't know.
Yes.
We've never explored, we've never seen, we don't know what is out there.
And there is a good reference book, by the way. Hmm. And we also happen to have a very nice program about that with actually you, basically. Hmm. You are the guest of that show or the host of that show, and that is the very detailed commentary of Imam Sajjad's Sahifa Sajjadiyah. And this is a very old scroll, you know, basically it's been translated into. And in that, when I was reading it, you know, I was like shocked and appalled by the very idea of that. There are lots of different creatures that we don't know anything about. Even Imam doesn't know. Like, he asks God, what are they, for example?
Yeah, so there are different... There, I mean, if you, there's a, we have a called, we have a book called Madyanatul Ma'ajiz, The City of Miracles, which talks about the Ahl Bayt interacting with these creatures.
Yes.
Which is mind-boggling, right?
Exactly.
But as far as we've been told, as mainstream Islam, we've been told, like, you have in, you have humans and you have jinn. Besides that, we don't have any much. I mean, unless you want to jump to a different subjects altogether, then
yes.
But I, like I said, I hold the belief that 100% there are different creatures out there that we are not aware of.
Okay. By the way, the name of that, or the title of that program you're hosting, is called Bridge.
Bridge.
By the way, if you just wanted to refer to that and search it, Google it with English radio, IRIB English radio, and probably you could easily access it. Thank you very much for listening to the program Viewpoint on IRIB English radio. In this program, we try to criticize the concept of jinn through the movie The Jinn with a Capital Day. It's a 2021st American supernatural horror film directed by or written by David Carbonier and Justin Powell. Thank you very much for listening to us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Food for thought.
Hello everyone, and let us contemplate on a beautiful statement from the martyr of Karbala, Imam Hussein, peace be upon him. Certainly these people have come to staunchly obey Satan and given up obeying the compassionate. They showed mischief, stopped acting in accordance with Islamic laws, took Muslims' property to themselves, made the haram designated by Allah halal, and turned his halal into haram.
We are with you. What about you? Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio.
News, social news, scientific news, artistic news. With delight.
Age does not matter, it's the heart that counts. A Guatemalan female footballer has proved that there is no point one should worry about the age. 57-year-old Alma Salazar has a passion for soccer and takes care of her team's goalpost. Known as Flying Granny, she launches herself and deflects a ball that's looking for the nets. The passion for the sport was born when she was 19 years old. She started training with a men's team where she often found a place as a goalkeeper. Since then, Alma has played for several professional and amateur football clubs. In her room that overlooks a local stadium, Alma keeps trophies she has won on a table, most of them as the least defeated goalkeeper. Locals praise her as an unbeatable goalkeeper. The evolution of robots has been one of the fascinations of recent technological developments. And now the most cutting-edge achievements in that department were presented to the public during a conference in Beijing. The four-day annual World Robot Conference was held both offline and online. It featured three major events, including forum, expo, and competition. On display were more than 500 sets of robots from 130 companies from China and abroad. The conference gave an idea of how the future of humanity will be impacted by the automations. It shows how they can contribute to different sectors, from the restaurant industry and medicine to elderly care, agriculture, and manufacturing. An inflatable building that explores how people would potentially live on Mars has been unveiled in the British city of Bristol. It's a two-story structure with an area of 570 square feet, powered by solar panels. It's designed to cope with temperatures as low as minus 63 degrees Celsius. Although the Martian house will be displayed above ground, its lower level will be fully buried to maximize protection against the harsh environment on Mars. Inside, the top floor features a hydroponic living room filled with decorative plants that feed into a circular wastewater system. A team of experts helped develop the design, taking into consideration the complexity of transporting materials to the Red Planet and what is already there.
So in the gold inflatable structure which you see above you, that's the main living space of the Martian house. It's gold to reflect dangerous solar rays and cosmic radiation, and it's inflatable because it would be filled with a special concrete made of the dust and water that you find on Mars, again to protect you from those dangerous solar and cosmic rays.
The Martian house was envisioned by local artists 7 years ago. The artists also brought together space scientists, architects, engineers, designers, and even school children. The space age dwelling explores what a house on Mars could be like and is meant to for research and experiments about the future. The major objective of the project, however, is to provoke questions about living more sustainably with the resources at hand here on Earth. Japanese plastic food artisans are showcasing their mouth-watering artificial creations at an exhibition in Japan's capital city, Tokyo. From the Leaning Tower of Pizza to fish slicing and cooking, or even the quirky stacked pancakes, you can find almost everything at the exhibit. Other sculptors, including a deep-fried shrimp with four breaded legs scaling a mountain of shredded cabbage like a tiger. Another creation on display is a Tetris game made of chicken. Plastic food artists get really excited for the exhibition each year as they are given a chance to practice their own spin on creativity, bringing food to life with curious characters.
So normally we have to follow orders from clients. We take their views on board when we're making items. Normally that's our work. But for the competition, you can use your imagination. How it finally ends up is totally up to you. I like that aspect of it.
There are some 60 sculptors on display. Some are silly, but others highlight the artist's skills. The models were made with the same careful detail as the rock-solid noodle soups and crispy-looking plastic snacks on display outside Japanese restaurants. There is a lucrative business for them in Japan.
The forest management plays a key role in mitigating climate change. Like many world countries, China has accelerated environmental and social structural changes in urban spaces to deal with this pertinent issue. The Donggu Forest Park is one such project that has provided city dwellers enough space to breathe. It comes into being from what local people usually called rotten woods. The park on the northern bank of the Xialinge River covers an area of nearly 120 hectares. Nobody would come there before, as the place was full of flies and mosquitoes. But now, with the environment improved and water cleaned in the river, the place has turned into a wonderland, attracting locals and even foreign tourists.
Now the sky is blue, the water clean and the air fresh, with green greeting you wherever you go. The elderly play Tai Chi or do bodybuilding exercises here. Young people play football, basketball and table tennis.
Over the past 20 years, a large number of cities in China have undergone a brief but rapid urban expansion. Most of these cities are now facing social problems such as an aging population and a high prevalence of chronic diseases. The Comprehensive Environmental Improvement Program in the area was initiated in 2014 in order to create space for those who want to take a break from their everyday works.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
Whilst not being as painful as a broken limb, animals like humans suffer from chronic and acute pain from gum infections, broken teeth, and bacterial spread through the circulation. A 16-year-old elephant in Pakistan is one such case. Madhubala, suffering for years from a dental infection caused by a broken tusk, has finally got relief thanks to vets, dentists. Named after a legendary Indian actress, Madhubala's eyes were taped shut, her legs tied to support her during sedation and subsequent treatment at a Karachi zoo. The vets had to use drills and other heavy surgical tools to extract the infected tusk. She is one of four African elephants being treated in Karachi by an eight-member team from Global Animal Welfare Group, Four Paws. A Pakistani court last year asked Four Paws to assess the health of the animals after local animal rights activists raised concerns about their well-being. England's Paradise Wildlife Park welcomes its new guest, an endangered red panda cub. The mother, Tilly, gave birth to the cub just 1 month after she lost her breeding partner, Nampang. Experts say Tilly had been under a breeding project for 4 years. The cub has been named Little Red, and his birth is being celebrated as a, quote, symbol of hope. Red pandas are classed as an endangered species and are on the red list of the International Union for Conservation of Nature. The bushy-tailed bamboo munchers dwell in high-altitude Asian forests, and their population is now fewer than 2,500. lightning strikes are very powerful and misunderstood force of nature that we all often see being used in films. A spectacular lightning strike has illuminated the sky over the Scottish town of Dundee. A video from an eyewitness that captured the hypnotic scene has been shared on several social media platforms. The lightning in the clip can be seen sending several bolts in opposite directions. Below, a church spire is silhouetted against the lightning flashes. But lightning is not always spectacular, as sometimes it causes fire to tower and high rises. Last month, a wind turbine caught fire after being struck by a lightning bolt in North Texas, United States. Forestry authorities in southwestern China have opened a new canteen for wild Asian elephants in a bid to stop them wandering into villages. The canteen in Yunnan province provides the animals with attractive and nutritious meals while exploring man-animal harmonious coexistence. During these years, the province has explored multiple ways to reduce the encounters between humans and elephants and try to keep the animals away from farmers' crops. There are now approximately 1,400 hectares of dining halls for elephants, with many expanding from 100 to 240, such as corn, rice, and sugarcane. They are planted on a large scale and within easy reach of the elephants. The location of such canteens is extremely selective, usually away from villages and major roads, and the chefs are locals.
Stunning scenes in Spain as the last supermoon of the year illuminates the night sky amid fireworks and fairs marking the start of festivities for a public holiday. In Malaga, fireworks left the sky a mix of colors against the bright moon. There was also a spectacle of drones that lightened the sturgeon moon. Locals in the Canary Islands also celebrated the three-day holiday by lighting up a Ferris wheel as the full moon beamed beautifully in the sky. If the moon is within 10% of its closest distance to Earth at the moment of full moon, it is called a supermoon. The supermoon has various hues and appears bigger and brighter than when the moon is at its farthest point from Earth. Have you ever heard of fighting nature with nature? Well, that's what the San Francisco Metro system in the U.S. did to stop pigeons from overrunning the place. The station has hired a hawk as the new guard to patrol the area. Pac-Man is a 5-year-old Harris's hawk who has taken up the perch at the station. In terms of experience, he is pretty new, as he finished training only 9 months ago. The station recently renovated its building, installing netting and spikes to prevent pigeons from nesting. But these birds still seem to find their way to hang around. So with the Falconer Force, Ricky Ortiz and his hawk were hired this summer to keep the pigeons at bay.
So a typical day is we get here, we make our round, we start off down in the bottom inside the facility, making sure there's no pigeons hanging out in there. And then we work our way up here to the platforms and just check the ledges and the roof and make sure that they're not trying to sneak in on us and keep them out. And he does a pretty good job of that.
The team patrols 3 days a week and Pac-Man is allowed to swoop in and scare any pigeons sitting around. The Falconer says less than half of the pigeons they left after the first week of Pac-Man flying and establishing the territory. Commuters and station managers say they also noticed the difference. The Falconer says he usually keeps his feathery friend happy on the job by giving him snacks throughout the day. This also encourages the hawk not to feast on the pigeons and local rodents.
True, the same is the light of guidance. and the ship is unleashed.
IRIB English Radio in the month of Muharram presents today's special. Every day for 15 minutes.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Dear brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, salam. Allah's peace be upon all of you. Thank you very much for joining us. So welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. In this episode, we're going to speak about crying for Imam al-Hussein, peace be upon him. I invite you to join us.
كربلاء لا زلت كربا وبلا ما لقي عندك يا آل المصطفى كربلاء لا زلت كربا وبلا ما لقي عندك يا آل المصطفى كربلاء كربلاء.
Today, Friday, is the 28th of Muharram, 1444 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 4th of Shahrivar, 1401 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 26th of August, 2022 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. This is Chapter Ashura, verse 23 of the Holy Quran. Please listen to it.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. ذلك الذي يبشر الله عباده الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات قل لا أسألكم عليه أجرا إلا المودة في القربى ومن يقترف حسنة نزد له فيها حسنا إِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورٌ شَكُورٌ.
It is that of which Allah gives good tidings to His servants who believe and do righteous deeds. Say, O Muhammad, I do not ask you for this message any payment, but only goodwill through kinship. And whoever commits a good deed, we will increase for him good therein. Indeed, Allah is forgiving and appreciative.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
It is worthy of note that the blessed verse in question makes a reference to the continuity of the prophetic doctrine by the divine guardians, who are his infallible successors and descendants. The question of loving them serves as the basis of the nexus which is explicitly mentioned in the verse. The Messenger of Allah said, "One who passes away with the love of the family of Muhammad is the martyrs. Be aware that such person passes away with repentance." Rasulullah's blessing for those that weep for Imam Hussein, peace be upon him. In a hadith we read, "Whomsoever eyes cries a drop of tears on us or sheds a one drop of tears on us, Allah will reward him with paradise." Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and his family said, "Whoever on the day of Ashura weeps for my son Hussein, Allah will place that person in paradise alongside the great prophets. When Rasulullah himself has guaranteed paradise for those who weep for Imam al-Hussein, then who are the one to give fatwa against mourning? Whom should we follow, the prophet or these Wahhabis? Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bihi nasta'in. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with shedding tears in favor of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. We can understand that from the accounts, authentic and original accounts already indicated and available to us, that the infallible imams encouraged people to shed tears in favor of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. In a great majority of cases, the fourth infallible Imam Muhammad al-Baqir alayhi salam and the sixth infallible Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam encouraged Muslims, encouraged Shi'is to go on pilgrimage to Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. This is one point. Another point is that, for example, Abu Harun al-Makfuf, who was a companion of both the fifth infallible Imam Muhammad al-Baqir and the sixth infallible Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam, he was repeatedly requested to recite his mournful poems in favor of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. And not only the infallible imams shed tears, rather the families right from behind the curtain, they started shedding tears in favor of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, and the very critical situation inflicted on the Ashura survivors and the Ashura martyrs. This is one point. Another point in this regard is that the infallible imams gave rewards to the poets who composed poems in praise of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. For example, Di'bel, who was a staunch believer, a staunch Shi'i poet, and who was a companion of the eighth infallible Imam al-Reza alayhi salam, received ample rewards from Imam al-Reza alayhi salam because he composed a poem, and in it he mentioned the case of martyrdom of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. Thank you.
On the month of Muharram and the martyrdom anniversary of Imam Hussein alayhi salam and his family and companions, be with today's special. Every day from IRIB English Radio. People rise up and mourn, it is Ashura. See the struggle of Hussein. In this part of today's special, we'll look at the history and philosophy of Azza al-Hussein. Until the time of Ghaybat al-Kubra, we find that our imams always encouraged Azza al-Hussein. They saw in Azza al-Hussein not only a demonstration of grief for Imam al-Hussein and the martyrs of Karbala, but also a renewal of one's commitment to Allah and His laws, as expounded in the Holy Quran and the Ahadith. We have records of the sayings of the representatives during Ghaybat al-Sughra explaining and encouraging Azza al-Hussein. From 329 AH onwards, the Fuqaha and the Ulamas took it upon themselves to perpetuate the message of Karbala. Sheikh As-Saduq, who died in 381 AH, was the first scholar to have introduced prose as medium of conveying the message of Imam al-Hussein, peace be upon him. He would sit on a pulpit and speak extempore while many of his students sat by the side on the pulpit and recorded the speech.
A السلام عليك يا أبا عبد الله وعلى الأرواح التي حلت بفنائك عليك مني سلام الله أبدا ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار ولا جعله الله آخر العهد من زيارتك السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين الذين بذلوا مهجهم دون الحسين عليه السلام
On the continuation of this program, the extent of grief observed by the latter imams, peace be upon them, for the entirety of Muharram. Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq, peace be upon him, said, "The sky wept over al-Husayn, peace be upon him, for 40 mornings with blood, while the earth wept over him for 40 mornings with darkness, blackness. The sun wept over him for 40 mornings with an eclipse and with redness. The mountains dispersed, the oceans poured forth, whereas the angels wept over him for 40 mornings. No woman amongst us ever died with henna, nor used any oil, nor any kohl, nor cohabited with her husband until the head of Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad was brought to us, and we are still aggrieved even after all that." Similarly, Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq, peace be upon him, said, "There is none who recites poetry about Hussein and weeps and makes others weep by means of it, except that Allah makes paradise incumbent upon him and forgives his sins." Sayyid Abbas Razavian.
Realizing and understanding the Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasalam through nur and light. This is something that is very possible to do and is something that has been done in history. We have in one of our traditions a group of people from Yemen, a group of worshippers, good people. They came to the Prophet inquiring about his successor. So the Prophet gave him a verse of the Quran and they kept asking, then, "Who is this? Who is this Hablullah? You attach yourselves to the rope of God." And then they kept asking, and finally he says, basically, go out in the lines of Salat, in congregation Salat, and find, you will find him yourself. See who your heart inclines towards. So they began to walk, this group of Yemeni worshippers. They began to walk and walk, and then they saw one person that they were sure that was their successor, the successor of the Holy Prophet. So they come back to him. And he says, "Is it him?" And then the Prophet says, "Yes." You know, he affirms the fact that it is Ali ibn Abi Talib, it is Imam Ali. And he asks him, "How did you know?" And the Yemenis in this hadith, they say that in this tradition, they began crying and saying, "Oh, Messenger of God, we looked at the people, but our hearts did not incline to any of them. When we saw this man, our hearts trembled, and then our souls felt assured. Our eyes shed tears, and chests became pleased, as if he was our father, and we were his children." So these worshippers, they understood who the successor, who deserved imamat after the Holy Prophet. Who was the imam after the Holy Prophet, the guide, the leader, the guardian? And why? Through ma'rifat nuraniyah. That is how they did this. And then it says that the Prophet of Islam later on talked about how these people would follow and predicted that they would follow Imam Ali, and this was true. They continued and were loyal to Imam Ali, and many of them fought with him, alongside Imam Ali against in the Battle of Safin, in the Battle of Jamal, they participated and were martyred in such battles. So this is a hadith that shows us that you have the ability to see and witness nur and light of Imamat through your hearts. And when we reach this Maqam al-Mahmud, inshallah, that we see, that we said in Ziyarat Ashura, we connect to the Imams with this nur and light, and we start, inshallah, becoming part of them and like them, inshallah.
Dear brothers and sisters, that was all for today's special. Thank you very much for joining us. Keep us in your prayers and morning gatherings. Fi amanillah.
Allahumma ij'al mahyaya mahyaya Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad wa mamati wa mamati ومماتي ممات محمد وآل محمد.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en.